7 FM 710 Keel, Micah McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Shreveport Fire Chief Clarence Reese Jr. joining us. Chief, good morning. Thanks for jumping on with us.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Well, we're doing very well. We were wanting to find out any latest information. How's the investigation going into the fire at the Shreveport Country Club?
Sure. So, still early on in the investigation, we had an investigator there taking some samples on yesterday after we were able to get a track hoe in there and start moving some of the debris and also canvassing the neighborhood for any video footage and statements, just like we did on that very first day. But, of course, with it kind of calming down a little bit, it gave the investigators a little bit more time.
Pretty suspicious fire here, correct?
Absolutely.
Vagrants have been seen on the scene, some guys on four-wheelers. You're hearing the whole shebang. Have you had any suspects at all yet?
Not as right now. My investigators have not given me any of that information. But as soon as that information is available, if we think it is a credible threat, we will put out video surveillance. Now, if anybody has any information, please don't wait on us to come see you. If you have any information, we would hear of anything, please call Crime Stoppers at 673-7373 and get that information to us as quickly as possible.
Chief Reese, do you have any idea if the fire was started in multiple locations? I know, you watch some of these crime shows and you can see, hey, that was deliberately set here and here and here. Do you have any indication on that yet?
Now, kind of listen to investigators. It does. It did the burn pattern in which it took, and how fast that entire building was on fire or fully engulfed. It's, again, suspicious to not only the investigators, but also to those crews that first arrived. We had a 3-minute response time, and within 6 minutes of us arriving, we called a second alarm. So that lets you know the magnitude of that fire from the time they got there.
How many firefighters were involved? I mean, it was dozens, right?
Roughly about 70 on the initial that initial day. However, this spanned through 2 to 3 different shifts. So we rotated almost everybody in the city to that fire.
Now, there was a large building, mostly glass along the back. How much of the building was involved? Is it a total loss?
Yes, all of it. It is considered a total loss at this time. The structure that is, or the end of the structure that's closer to Esplanade, kind of stood just a little bit. But again, if you look at the backside of that building, they're just metal truss up at this point.
Chief, we love Keyboard Warriors, and you saw a lot of it. It's got to be, check out the insurance. Reverend Duron told us yesterday, doesn't have insurance on the property. All he's got is liability. So you can kind of rule that out, right?
Correct. Okay. On the insurance side, those investigators do their due diligence in talking to the owners of that building. But again, we don't rule anything out until it's not an option at all anymore.
Okay, let's shift gears. You've lost quite a leader, Captain Victor Green, officially pronounced dead yesterday. Tell us about Green.
Sure. One of the people that could work with anybody. He was very special to the fire department, to active members, and to retirees. He had just been seen taking a picture with a retiree who was also going through a sickness. Very all of a sudden for Captain Green. For Captain Green, it took us all by shock. He had just gotten off from the hospital at Willis-Knighton, where he his side job got off at 9 o'clock, and that job he works that with other firefighters that work for Shreveport. But so they had no indicators. Said, man, he was joking around. He's one of those guys. Before AI was here and you could make all kind of videos and photos, do what you want him to do, he was AI. So he was always, always jacking with people. If you take a look at his Facebook page, he was a photographer. He was a DJ. He's been a lot of things to a lot of people. But one thing he was for most is a friend.
So it was a sudden heart attack, or do we know anything yet?
Not sure. His family called 911 roughly about 11:45 on Thursday night, a couple hours after he got off from Willis-Knighton, and we witnessed an arrest when our crews got course, it's very difficult working on anyone that is facing death. But when you're looking in the face of someone that is your own, it takes you kick it into another gear. It takes a different toll on you. There's a lot of mental health issues that come along with that. So it was very difficult. And then staying at the hospital, making sure that his family was taken care of, we could answer any questions that they had, is highly important to us.
We have to mention, and his family may not even want this mentioned, but I'm told he was an organ donor. So he will live on through the people that he so graciously decided to give his organs to. That is something that you guys just give and give, even in death. It's amazing.
Absolutely. And I've been around a couple firefighters' deaths at this point where I've come unglued, couldn't hold it together, probably been in the bathroom bawling like my 4-year-old son. But the strength of his wife has really made the difference for all of the firefighters. They lined the hallways on yesterday. Immediately before walking down that hallway behind his remains, I grabbed some tissue because I knew I couldn't make the walk without a dry eye. And surprisingly enough, looking at his wife walk behind him in the strength that she showed, I made it to the end of the hallway without having to pull out my tissue. But yes, his life continues to live on. He's down in Covington right now. Thank the firefighters from all over the state of Louisiana. This was kind of an abrupt decision to take him down to Covington and for the tissue procurement. But they have fire trucks all the way from the time we left Shreveport all the way to Covington that gave escort. So we really hope citizens, all of the friends who have reached out, visitors, firefighters from all over who have reached out, who have prayed for us. We definitely feel it, and we thank you for it.
Chief, I was at a fireman's funeral as a family member, and the hardest part for me was the last call that they did on the radio. That's absolutely just an incredible moment. Wow, that's very powerful.
Yes, sir. There'll be no different for this funeral. We always honor the wishes of the family. We ask that some of those traditions remain intact. However, if they don't want it, we don't do it. And if they want it, we do it. So as of right now, we will have that last call. We may not have the bagpipes. It may be me playing the saxophone to Amazing Grace. Some people prefer that. And so whatever the family wants at this point for an active member of the that was an active member of the Shreveport Fire Department, we want to make sure that we honor his wishes. And believe it or not, Captain Vick would probably he would want it.
Is there news on the services yet? Any?
As of right now, there are not. It is all depending on the time in which his remains will come back to Shreveport. But we will be in contact with the funeral home on today at 11, getting a lot of the preliminaries out of the way.
Mm-hmm. Chief Clarence Reese Jr., thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's been a tough few days for you, I know. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Thank y'all. Mm-hmm. Have a great morning. Mm-hmm.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Coming up here in about 20 minutes, Moon Griffon going to join us in studio for a few minutes. Mike and McCarty.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, I went to go down to the downtown festivities.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, 5:00, National Night Out. Gonna ride the bike. Hopped on the bike. Had a little work to do at the house. So I hopped on the bike, was gonna ride down.
Oh no.
I was like, are you kidding me?
Wow.
And I just cranked it and got it out of the garage. So I don't know what in the world.
So you had to go mess with getting a battery.
So I was like, I got one on the way. So I didn't make it downtown.
Oh, that's sad. That's sad.
So I want to get reports. I know Chico was wasn't she the DJ?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Say yay, yes. Yay. Hi, Chica.
And I helped her set up.
Oh, Ruben.
Good. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, so how'd it go? Well, you give me a report then.
It was great. It was hype.
You look weird without your glasses.
I know.
I'm sorry.
I know. I was in a hurry this morning and I forgot my glasses. And of course, the first thing I see is McCoy in the hallway and he goes, "Hey, you got a haircut." No, nobody.
Oh, big crowd. They had a big crowd.
Yeah, the crowd was absolutely huge. They had some musical act along with Chica as the DJ, a guy playing piano. It was really nice.
Oh, very cool.
Decent food? I hate that I missed it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good spread.
As soon as we got there, the barbecue was rolling, smoking.
Oh man. Yeah. Wow.
It was a fantastic time.
Wow.
It looks like it was a great crowd.
Wow. That's so cool.
Fun.
I love the Mayor Tom Arsenault will be in studio with us today, 7 o'clock, for his Ask the Mayor whole
yes.
hour. And we're going to talk to him about National Night Out. Of course, we had a tragedy last night at A.B. Palmer Park. We had a 17-year-old murdered in a shootout during a National Night Out party. And
Well, the mayor said this was not a sanctioned National Night. This wasn't a registered party. This was kind of a pop-up event at the park.
Well, lots of people have pop-ups. A lot of people don't register their parties, so that's pretty common. And they just get together in their neighborhood. If they have a park, they get together. So it's so sad that happened on National Night Out. It's horrifying.
It's kind of ironic.
We're going to talk to the mayor about the 2% surcharge on your water bill. The National Guard, I believe he and the chief have kind of met and hashed out a little bit about what they think they might do if the National Guard troops are coming. So we've got a lot of topics. But if you want to ask the mayor something, don't wait until he's sitting in here because it'll probably be too late.
Right.
Message us on the Shreveport Security Systems message board.
As you can tell, we've already got topics lined up. So if you want to get your question in, do it now.
Yes.
If you don't have that free Keel app, it's very simple to download. Go to your app store and download that. It's free.
Yep.
And we're not going to inundate you with a lot of advertising or anything like that. It's just your way to connect with us.
Mm-hmm.
Moon Griffon was in studio yesterday. We spoke to him about government shutdown. Hear what he's got to say right after the local news, bottom of the hour. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, Moon Griffon joined us in studio yesterday. He'll talk about the government shutdown right after the break. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel. And I don't think you hit a time warp. Normally, you hear this voice coming up after 9 o'clock. Moon, good morning.
Good morning. Good to see you. All three of y'all.
Yeah.
I know.
So, government's going to be back to work when?
I don't know. I was watching John Kennedy, and Kennedy was saying that what's going to happen. And they got a good take. Is you're going to have 6-7 of the Democrats. Schumer's going to go to him. Schumer's going to take a lot of heat right now. And he will end up going to him and saying, "Look, y'all, bail me out of this. This is enough." And they'll go agree to something, and they'll probably bail out.
That way he saves face because he's scared to death of this challenge by AOC coming up.
Kennedy says what he's going to do is tell those guys, "Now, look, when you do this, I'm going to have to beat up on you a little bit and call you a coward and all that."
Exactly.
I got another project for your district. Don't worry about it. We're going to take it. That's what John Kennedy was saying. It was kind of, you know, Kennedy's always... He's a smart guy, but he's also a funny guy. So he kind of mixes it in.
We had a segment of his address to the Senate just earlier this morning talking about what the Democrats are fighting for.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Ridiculous.
When you listen to John and they start mentioning this stuff, you kind of go, huh?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
it's a shame. But listen, all this post-COVID money that we spent, and I'm not saying you still can't get COVID. As we all know, you still get COVID, but you get any virus.
Yep.
And it's not a pandemic right now. So why are we spending all this money still? They want to keep spending the money. And I don't know if y'all look, $37.5 trillion in debt. You know those numbers, you throw them out there? What the hell does that even mean? I mean, 37. Right. I don't even know what 37,000 is sometimes. 37 trillion? Think about it. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. The things that Kennedy mentioned on the floor that we're spending money on, like gay pride parades in Uganda.
Yeah, I played that tape too.
And they want that money put back in. Yeah.
The big thing they really fight for, what they keep telling you is health care. Health care, health care, health care. But they don't even want you to look at all the stuff that y'all are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than health care. They wanted a $1.5 trillion more money to spend. Now, I got news for y'all. You see these high prices we're paying at the grocery store and high prices we're paying for vehicles and high prices paying for everything?
Mm-hmm.
It's all because we keep printing money. Yeah. If you look at the correlation between printing of money and inflation, that's it. That's 99.9% of it. So why don't we stop doing that?
Moon, let me ask you a silly question.
Well, I'm the best guy for silly questions.
I can't wrap my brain around why they're fighting for all this healthcare spending for people that are single or living alone and are able-bodied under age 64. I get up at 3:30 in the morning, every morning, and I go to work. And I've been doing that for 40-plus years. I'm sick of people taking – if you need my help and you're disabled, I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I'll help you to your dying day. If you can get up and go to work, for crying out loud, go.
Yeah, it's become the problem. We find out ways to give away money in the country. I was just reading before I came in, the devil's advocate, I call it. But they had another article on how this is really going to hurt health care in Louisiana. But if you read the article, you know who it's going to hurt? It's going to hurt the people that are getting all the subsidies to buy the health care. Okay? And they said their premium's going to go up to $200 or $300 or $400 a month. Well, guys, y'all looking at a guy's premium. I'm minus $3,299.09. I am a very middle-class person. I wish I had all this money. People think like, you know, when they think of Rush Limbaugh and Bongino, they don't think of us because we ain't in that category.
Right.
So it's a struggle to pay my health care to no end, and they're gonna jump up to $300 or $400. I don't feel sorry for any of those people.
Mm-mm.
They ought to have to go into the market like I have to go into it and see what Obamacare has really done, Aaron. So going back to what you're saying, able-bodied people, going to work, go get a job. I got to feed my kids in the morning. You know, I still got Maddie, you know, my special need. But I never thought about one day when I go to work and have kids, I'm going to let the government feed them.
Yeah.
Well, and not only able-bodied people, but
I'm talking able-bodied. We're talking able-bodied only here.
Mm-hmm.
But also people that aren't even supposed to be in this country, that are not here legally, and they're demanding U.S. citizens' rights. Democrats are demanding to give them citizens' rights.
Democrats are a big problem. Republicans act stupid, though. And I get as mad at them as I do the Democrats because I think they know better. But the Democrats have really, somebody pointed out to me, they really become the socialist, kind of a Marxist socialist party now. They're not the old Democrat, the old liberal.
No.
Aaron, we grew up saying, he's a liberal. And you could talk and visit with them people, and we disagree on some stuff, but it was never like it is now.
Well, and that's what I told Aaron earlier this week. I said, congratulations, universe. I miss Bill Clinton.
Yeah. Oh, no. Hey, I got one funny. I don't know if y'all follow football, but I had a football player named Jack Besh. He came from Lafayette. He was at LSU. He went to TCU. And he's with the Oakland Raiders. He was drafted in the second round of Noah's family. His brother, Tiger Besh, was one of the ones that were killed New Year's Eve.
Mm.
The New Year's Day, he was one. I knew the family. I went to the funeral. Okay, it's that kind of deal that I'm close. So his mom is a sweetheart, but she's a liberal. But she always tells me, said, I ain't for this crazy stuff. She said, I'm an old school liberal. So I was on there one day saying, if I ever run into another liberal, I'm going to kiss her or him. And I was at the LSU football game, and there I saw him. And I walked up, and I know Marty, her husband, and I walked up to him and planted a big wet kiss on the side of his cheek. I swore if I could run into the old school liberal, I was going to give him a kiss, and you it.
Oh,
and she fell out laughing.
Wow.
That's what you just said. Where's Bill Clinton? Because that was a different time. We disagreed on policy, but for the most part, we didn't disagree that we love America and we're trying to do something different.
Right.
We just disagreed. Now it's crazy versus trying to keep things sane.
Yeah. What's coming up on your show? I'm sorry.
Good versus evil.
Yeah.
Honestly.
No.
We've devolved.
Yeah. Yes.
Alan Seaball is supposed to join me.
Okay.
I was supposed to have Dr. Brumley, who is really doing a good job with education. They got some new numbers that we jumped up. To be honest with you, I had some technical problems. I'm going to do an hour and have to do a second hour kind of a tape deal. I got to do it on a cell phone the first hour.
Oh, wow.
Good news is I talked to the engineer.
Okay.
He's going to set this up like we do. We go to Baton Rouge with a hard line. We can actually, when y'all walk off, I can literally come in here and do the program.
Okay.
Right, y'all can stay in here and do the work while I do. Matter of fact, I can interview y'all.
Okay.
Keep all y'all in here. That'd be great.
Okay. Give me a grade on Speaker Mike Johnson. He's our guy. You know, he's my kickball guy.
And I love Mike. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mike's done a great job, not so much of a great, but a great job considering he just don't have the votes to do what he wants to do.
Right.
Okay.
For him to have accomplished what he has accomplished.
By the way, I jump his butt sometime, but I tell you what, Mike's a class act. Mike still comes on my program, and I know y'all get him,
yeah.
but he comes on my program after I even criticize him. And
sure.
he comes back on the program, and I appreciate that because it's okay to come back on the program, and then he may explain something maybe I didn't know. So I think he's done a really good job. But, you know, they got a whole house. I would love to see them win 40 seats above what they need.
Oh, yeah.
And the Senate pick up 4 more seats.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then see if Republicans have the you-know-what to move this country forward like it needs to. Because if you don't have that, what if we lose the House?
Oh,
you know,
boy.
People are crazy. Oh, they vote a certain way. What if you lose the House? Impeach Donald Trump. It's, I mean, it's all, everything's done. It's mm-hmm. over. It's yeah. over next year. Any progress
right.
we're going to make for this country to be what we need to be, it'd be totally over.
You know, I've heard people like Sean Hannity even say, oh, yeah, please run Ocasio-Cortez. Please run her for president. And I'm like, you know, I said that about Biden because I thought there's no way
the public is going to
elect this moron.
If
he got elected.
Well, that's that. You're looking exactly what these mail-in ballots look like when it's on a mass scale.
Yeah.
Biden got 12 to 15 million more votes than Obama and Hillary. Really?
Really?
And he never campaigned?
Mm.
Think about that.
The whole time.
The whole thing. They stopped vote counting on only the swing state. I mean, look, you can say what you want to Will Moon. They never proved it. I don't necessarily believe that. I think what happened is people don't want to look like the country's blowing up, so they really just said, you know what, the hell with it. And you got people that hate Donald Trump. Even in the Republican Party.
Yeah, absolutely.
Moon Griffon, 9 o'clock this morning, right here, 101.7 FM, 710 KU.
To the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KU.
Lamenting corporate emails.
And they're trying to trick us these days.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
They try to trick us to click on emails that are scams, and then we have to go to training.
I don't click on any of them now.
Yes, I hope you don't send me anything important.
And then it's like, well, didn't you know about this company directive? No, I didn't know because I don't open any emails anymore.
Because y'all keep trying to trick us.
Thank you. You've trained me
not to open your emails.
Open anything.
That's just nuts. If you have a question, by the way, for Mayor Tom Arsenault, Ask the Mayor is coming up just after 7. Anything goes. Of course, we'll be talking about his 2% surcharge on your water bill. National Guard, how National Night Out was last night. We had a tragedy at A.B. Palmer Park in Cedar Grove. He'll go over all of that. But he's in studio now, and we want to say something to him real quick, if you don't
mind. Yes. Ruben, you ready?
Yep.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mayor Tom. Happy birthday to you and many more.
Thank you very much. That was very special. Thank you.
I suck.
I asked him in the hallway how old he is. I'd have lost money.
Really?
I'd have lost money.
I'm trying to think. He's probably 10 years older than me.
See, I wouldn't have gone there.
Really? Was I right? I'm not going to say my age. For crying out loud.
No, not that far.
Not that far. Okay. All right. Cool.
I don't know if you wanted to say.
Oh, I think lots of people know it. I'm 74 today.
Wow.
I'd have never, Aaron, wow. I thought 67 maybe.
Yeah.
Now, the Lord has blessed me with good health and a young face.
And you went. You went off a building Friday.
I know. It rappelled down a building.
I am a vibrant 74-year-old.
Well, you have a 2-year-old hip, right?
I do. I have a not quite 1-year-old.
Oh, not quite 1-year-old.
December 27th, my hip will be a year old.
How was that? Was that spooky?
His hip's still in diapers.
It was, so. You know, it was exhilarating. It took, I was not overtly afraid.
Okay.
But it was pretty nerve-wracking. The hardest part of it is that first, when they say,
lean
okay,
back, yeah.
Sit down and put your legs in front of him, then you're hanging 15 stories.
Oh.
Right. Oh.
That was the deal. And once I got my land legs, I was able to go down. I did not do a good job of regulating the speed. I couldn't get it steady.
Okay, so you would start, stop.
So I'd kind of start, stop all the way down. But I made it down.
Who
and,
cares? Yeah, you made it. Yeah.
I made it, and then I Then I realized when I got down, my legs were kind of quivering.
Then you got sick. You went, what did I just do?
I mean, it was, so that's checked off my bucket list.
Oh,
so
wow.
You control your speed down by the grip there's on the
lever.
Rope?
No. There's a lever that controls the speed, and it'll stop it. And then it also has, if you're dropping too fast, it has an automatic
brake. An override. Okay.
Yeah, it has a brake on it, which I did not need to use. But I would kind of slip down faster than I really wanted to go and stop. And then I'd slip down a little faster than I wanted to go and I'd stop. But that's how we did it. But I made it.
That's impressive.
Okay. We're going to talk a lot. We have a lot of topics. Don't wait too late to get your topic, your question in for the mayor.
Tom in Shreveport's already sent us one. Elvis fans got some coming in. So we do have questions coming in for the mayor. Download the free Keel app if you don't have it and submit it through the Shreveport Security Systems message board.
You bet.
That's how you connect with Mike and McCarty.
Mm-hmm.
Ask the Mayor, brought to you by Lynch's Lawn and Fence. Coming up after the news, top of the hour, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. It's the Lynch's Lawn and Fence Ask the Mayor segment with the birthday boy, Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing your special day with us. Mm-hmm.
Sure. I got to share it with somebody. Might as well be you guys.
What higher praise, huh?
Oh, yeah.
What higher praise. Well, let's start off with the bear in the room, your two proposal for the 2% fee on the water bill to address these blighted apartment complexes. It's specifically for those. It's not blight across the city.
Correct.
It's specifically for these apartment complexes. People have asked questions, how does the mayor plan on demolishing abandoned buildings if the city doesn't own them? Will they be able to use eminent domain?
Well, we demolish buildings all the time that we don't own because we have the authority to do that under the property standards code and state law without acquiring them. So, no, I don't intend, eminent domain means that you buy the property, and I do not intend to buy the property of a recalcitrant owner who's not doing what he or she is supposed to be doing and then demolishing the building. But we have the authority to demolish buildings that we don't own.
Okay.
State Representative Stephen Jackson talked about it. He's very opposed to this proposal and said something that was interesting to me, and I want you to clear it up. He said, I don't know how you can put a fee on your water bill that doesn't pay for your water service. Explain that.
People do it all the time. As a matter of fact, Bossier adds about $40 a month to the water bill for their garbage collection and public safety, et cetera. So we are authorized to do that. And we chose a percentage this time so that it would not be a flat fee and even more regressive than just a fee on the water bill is. And it also will apply to all customers, not just residential customers.
Even though the water is an enterprise fund. It's a separate fund for your water program.
Yeah, all that really means is it's supposed to pay for itself, and it does. But we transfer money in and out of that fund.
Councilman Grayson Butcher has also opposed this proposal, saying that he's got residents in his district that have very poor water pressure still have taste and odor issues with the water.
And coloration.
And now we're asking them to pay more. I need you to address that, too.
Well, this is a priority decision. The council needs to give us some direction about priorities. I am laying this out there because we do not have the funds. We spend about $1 million a year, a little more than $1 million a year on demolition of buildings that violate our property standards. But almost all of those are small structures. So they don't cost $100,000 or $200,000 or $300,000 to demolish. If we were not to do this and wanted to take down these apartments, which are a public safety hazard, a health hazard. If we choose not to do that, then not to get additional revenue to do those on a one-time basis, then we would use up all of the funds that we use to help clean up neighborhoods. So it is not something I want to do. It is simply, if we're going to do this, if we're going to undertake to tear down these apartment complexes, then we'll have to have additional revenue to do it. This is my proposed source.
Help if I turn my mic back on. Is there, some other questions, is there any other way, and I know you've looked into this, is there any other way to pay for this?
We're pretty good at scouring the budget in my administration, particularly Mr. Dark, Tom Dark, and we were not able to locate any other source. Now, I will tell you this. I don't like to receive city business things by Facebook Messenger, mainly because it creates public records issues, and I really try and do that on my try and do that through my email address. But I got a Facebook Messenger message from a constituent that said, "If the National Guard comes here, why don't you see if you can't use them to do this?" And so we are exploring that with the Adjutant General of the Louisiana National Guard. Mm-hmm. And if we are able to work that out, then this would not be necessary.
Okay. Before we get to the National Guard plan, because I know you probably met with the chief, I've got another water fee question.
Yeah, I've got one more water fee also.
You go ahead.
I know, right?
We could do an hour on the water fee.
I'm sure you could.
How do we keep from getting into this position again?
Well, we do try. There isn't any way absolutely to avoid it. We have a very good property standards code that we try and enforce. The way that many apartment complexes are financed, and the way, frankly, that many hotels are financed now, is through non-recourse financing, meaning the owner doesn't have personal liability for the mortgage. And as a result of that, if it's not going their way, then they just walk away and they don't have any consequences.
And there's no recourse at all.
But we're still behind the mortgage. And so we end up, if we have to do something, yes, can we bill the owners? Yeah, we can bill the owners, but billing the owners behind a $12 million mortgage, you know, that bill in $450 will buy you a cup of coffee somewhere at an expensive coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really have to work at doing this. And it does fall on us to protect neighbors, to protect neighborhoods, and to remove blight, mm-hmm. to address these issues. And you know, people really want to clean up the city. But sometimes cleaning up the city costs money that we don't have appropriated in the budget for those features.
Okay, this is the question that I'm seeing most everywhere, and that people are email me questions for you too. Why am I, Aaron McCarty, responsible for Derelict Don, the millionaire in Houston?
Well, first of all, these buildings are not owned by, quote, millionaires. They're owned by limited liability companies or corporations, mm-hmm. that don't have any other assets. The other feature of financing of hotels and apartment complexes is that they typically are what's called single-purpose entities. That is, that's all they own. So you can send them a bill, but they have no other assets out of which to make collections.
Explain in your heart of hearts why it's my response, why it's important that I need to see why it's important for me to help pay for that.
You pay to pick up litter. You pay to arrest criminals. There are lots of things that you pay for that really shouldn't happen, and there's a bad guy somewhere.
Right.
But our choice is to leave it be because the bad guy's not going to do what they're supposed to do, or to take some kind of action to eliminate the problem and then do the best you can to get retribution from the bad guy. You know, it's like somebody burglarizes my house. Not only is it a crime, it's also a civil offense, and I should be able to recover from the burglar.
Mm-hmm.
But the burglar doesn't have any assets, so yeah. I have the right to bill the burglar for my losses, but I don't have any way to collect it.
Right.
And that's the issue that we have with the city, with all property standards.
And so you
have lien rights on all of these property standards. Virtually none of it is collectible. That's why you'll see in our in the external audit, they talk about, well, we don't really have a handle on the receivables. You know, those receivables for property standards are basically uncollectible. And we don't have any mechanism to get an injunction to force an owner to tear down his building.
Okay. But you could break that argument down, I mean, to the infinite minute scale by going, okay, this guy broke into my house, stole my stuff, killed somebody. Okay, why do I have to pay to feed this guy now for the rest of his life?
Yeah,
why do I have to pay for his medical care?
Folks need to realize.
And now he's in prison, his children don't have a financial supply. And now I have to pay for his children and for their food and for their health care. So, I mean, you can take that argument. We're paying for a lot of stuff.
That we don't want to be.
That we are not.
Because of bad guys, like
you
said.
Are not responsible for.
All right. National Guard troops.
We got to take a break.
Yeah. Cool.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio, Mike and McCarty. 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio. Lynch's Lawn and Fence asked the mayor segment. Mayor, moving to another hot topic right now, National Guard. There are cities across the country that are fighting President Trump tooth and nail. On everything, but of course on National Guard and ICE, and we think New Orleans needs it. Baton Rouge probably does. Shreveport, not really for crime, but you got some great ideas on how to utilize the Guard should we get a couple hundred troops in town.
Well, I had a constituent that's just really had a great idea. You know, the great thing about being the mayor is I don't have to be the smartest person in the room. I just hope to surround myself with smart people, and sometimes that's constituents.
I'm never the smartest person in the room.
And so the constituents, I had a constituent that contacted me and said, what about using the National Guard? And I thought, you know, that's really a constructive, positive response.
For blight.
To this.
Right.
For blight.
Right.
Because blight influences crime.
And would they bring
crime.
In like bulldozers and
they have
dump
engineers.
Trucks,
they do right. That kind of stuff. And so we have in the event, and it may change. If we find out they can do it, then I'm probably going to ask for it instead of simply saying, send it to me and we'll figure out what we're going to do, because that would be a huge plus. It would probably save the city $3 million.
I want to tell you, you may or may not know this, but a couple of days after you made that suggestion, you told us about it, Mayor Sid Edwards in Baton Rouge said the same thing. He said he would love to use the National Guard to help with blight.
Right.
So there's going to be a way they're going to try to figure that out, I guess.
Yeah, and the difference, I think that the difference, and I cannot speak for any other mayor. Everybody's circumstances are different. And one of the great things about my initial conversation with General Frelew was he said, every city is different. Whatever we do has to be an individualized plan for your community based on your needs and how you can use our resources most effectively. And I thought, gee, that's not, I'm from the government, I'm here to help you. This is really constructive stuff. So I was really very much enthused by our conversation, and the subsequent conversations by my staff with his staff have been very promising.
Do you feel like you could say no to the National Guard to say, you know, we're fine, we're okay. You don't need to come to Shreveport. Spend it elsewhere.
That's the governor's call. And
no conversation with him about whether or not you need him or not?
We've had a brief conversation, and frankly, based on my conversation with the Adjutant General, I feel more comfortable about the whole situation, because it isn't going to be, hey, we're going to show up and we're going to have people walking up and down your streets with guns. And I do not envision that will happen at all, and that what we want to do is to have whatever presence we get with the National Guard, have that have a positive impact, not a negative impact on the people of Shreveport.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Absolutely.
Now, I know you can't speak for other mayors, but do you ever go, man, I wish I could swap jobs with Ronnie Walker over in Ruston?
I promise, Ron. Well, you know, Ronnie's
living the dream right now, man.
Ronnie, yeah. But, you know, that kind of growth and progress creates its own set of problems. Ronnie's a good friend, and he's a really outstanding mayor very creative and very sound administrator. So I wish him all the best. But I'll tell you, if every day you wake up and the first question is, when's Bucky's going to open? When's Bucky's going to open? When's Bucky's going to open? I'm sure that every once in a while, Ronnie wants somebody to say, can you ask me one other question? Yeah. Can you ask me about how the water tastes? Right. Something.
We want to talk about National Night Out when we come back. I know the mayor went to a couple of parties, maybe had a few meals last night.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio. Ask the Mayor, brought to you by Lynch's Lawn and Fence, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio. Mayor, before we move on, we want to talk about National Night Out. This is a real quick segment, just a couple seconds here. I've got a question. I want to follow up on the National Guard. The question says, why not patrol with the National Guard? Why not patrol Sprague Street and those streets right off downtown where crimes are being committed and streets aren't safe, for that matter? Use trustees from the prisons to clean up blight.
Well, first of all, most of the people that we have who are prisoners are awaiting trial, and so you can't use them for cleaning up.
Because they're not convicted.
They're not convicted. Right. So you can't do that. And that's what most of our prisoners are at CCC. Most of those people are awaiting trial.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not ours.
A lot of them are state prisoners.
They're state. Right. If they've been convicted, they're state prisoners. So it's a great thought. We just don't have the people to do it and the people to supervise it.
National Night Out when we get back, and the fatal shooting at A.B. Palmer Park at a National Night Out party.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio. Lynch's Lawn and Fence. Ask the Mayor. We'll be right back after the break. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio for the Lynch's Lawn and Fence Ask the Mayor segment.
National Night Out last night. Let's start with the tragedy. A.B. Palmer Park, they were having a neighborhood party, which they do at A.B. Palmer every year. It wasn't registered with the city.
This was really not the same thing. This was a deal with flyers and it appeared to me not to be designed to get neighborhood people there.
It was like a promoter event. Okay.
Was there a charge to get in? Was there admission?
There was not a charge to get in that I'm aware of, but it was not permitted, which it should have been. But it popped up with too large a group to really go. The decision the police had to make was, do we go and break it up and perhaps cause a riot there? Or do we simply try and monitor as best we can? Unfortunately, you know, these events, the one that we had in Allendale was the same kind of an event. Mm-hmm. Everybody, social media invitations, everybody pops up and shows up. And those have some inherent dangers to them. And the reason that we require a permit is to make sure that there's adequate security for the event. And unfortunately, there was no security, and we had a tragedy.
A teenager's dead today, a 17-year-old.
Right.
We're looking for the clues, right? We're still looking for suspects.
About how many people were in attendance?
I really do not know. Okay. I was actually riding around with the police chief and was advised of it while we were on our bus going from event to event.
How many parties did you go to last night?
Five or six.
Wow.
You know, that's when I was a councilman, you could go, your council district's more compact, so mm-hmm. you could probably, you don't have a lot of travel time. So
sure.
The travel time did it. And then now that we do it in October, it gets dark early, and most of these parties break up at dark. So they don't like to start until 6, and by 7:30 it's dark. You've only got an hour and a half, and I can't manufacture any time. Somebody, do you need more hours in the day? I said, no, I needed more minutes in the hours between
to get
6
to and, from.
And 7:30
You need a helicopter
yesterday.
Next year. You need a helicopter. Did you hear anything from the residents that was something new for you? Something that you were like, you know what? That's a really good idea. Did you hear anything cool?
I did not. I tell you, out in MLK, we were at the community garden, which right after I became elected, we had a service day on MLK Day, and we actually built most of those above ground beds that were there, and it's growing. Actually, there was some okra growing, and I love raw okra. I do.
I had some raw okra
last night.
Okay.
So that was good. And she was explaining to us how they're going to be replanting that and making it a community garden again, which would be terrific.
That is
now,
so
I love
cool.
some okra and tomatoes.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
chopped up onions or fried okra.
I'm not a fried okra fan. I will eat it, but I don't consider it a green vegetable. But I love it. I used to go in the garden with my grandfather, and he grew okra and green beans. And I love both of those raw.
Mm.
I just, right off the plant.
Okay, that's an X against Arsenault now for raw okra.
Raw okra.
Let me ask you something that I know you can't talk about.
You and Chief Smith and his frog legs, you guys ought to...
I like frog legs too. Chief and I can eat some frog legs.
There's another X. Dr. Lauren Scott, one of the state's chief, premier economists, came to town last week, and he told us that there have been rumors, and he's heard a lot of talk about the Shreveport area getting a data center. He said nobody's really talking about it because they've all signed confidentiality agreements. Have you signed such an agreement?
Yes.
So what can you tell us about the data center?
Nothing.
See how I did
but
that?
But the fact that an agreement was signed.
An agreement was signed.
You don't sign an agreement for nothing.
Can you tell me if you're optimistic and explain what a data center could mean for Shreveport if that did happen?
Aaron, I'm always optimistic. That's my nature. So, yes, I'm optimistic.
And if you were to see a data center come to Shreveport, what would you like to see? How many employees would that data center might
have? You know, data centers are really capital expenditure heavy and not employee heavy. Although if we had one, it would employ a couple of hundred people. But it also will sell them a lot of water.
Right.
We will sell them a lot of water, which
a lot of electricity.
And we'll sell them a lot of electricity. They gobble up electricity and water. So you'll have a lot of construction jobs in the first several years.
If that were to happen here, is it on your timetable for? Do you have a timetable that you would like to have a huge announcement coming out of, on this?
Well, I'd like to have it tomorrow, but I don't think it'll happen then, Aaron.
Will it happen before your re-election campaign?
I have absolutely no idea.
I got a stupid question.
Okay.
Why does a data center use a lot of water?
You know, I don't know the answer to that question. I know it's true, but I don't know the answer to that question. I will have to answer you the way, you know, when I was in the JCs, we used to do a half-hour program, and one of my programs was to interview the new incoming president of the JCs. And so I got in, and it was live television, all right? And so I got on, and I'm the host, and I'm talking to the new president, whose name I will not share with you. And I asked him the first question, and he said, I have nothing to say.
All right.
Well, so I had a half hour of dead air.
Oh, not good. Not good. But let me say, you went to Denver recently for an AI conference.
I did.
Linking that kind of to the data center. You learned a lot there. Can you share some of that?
Yeah, I did. This was, it was not about, the conference was the second annual one that Denver has done. It's called Den AI, Denver Artificial Intelligence Conference. And it was not about how best to use ChatGPT. It was what are the applications that people are making for local governments. And there were two particularly promising ones that I saw that we're going to be following up on to see about cost and effectiveness. And one of those is an instant permitting application that would use AI to compare your building code to a proposal and use AI to actually quickly
if you
give
you
your permit. And you would pay an extra fee for that, but the fee they're talking about is $50. So but it would move it through the process, and it's active in about 60 cities right now. So it's something to look at. The second thing was a public safety app that would place a lot of information in a summary form to a police officer on the officer's phone, not just in the computer. And they showed us if you look at the computer in a police car, mm-hmm. it's got all kinds of charts and graphs and mm-hmm. everything that's really not easy to read. This is an easy to read deal that's developed by a former FBI agent and really promising. So we're going to be looking at that too.
When we come back, I want to ask him the impact of the government shutdown on Shreveport government. Are there checks in the mail we're waiting on, and you know what kind of impact?
And I also saw a recent story on sick outs by air traffic controllers.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
What is that affecting here in Shreveport? Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Oh, more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710keel.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio. We got to wrap up. We just have about 2 minutes.
Government shutdown, Mayor. Any impact locally? What are there some things on your list that you're keeping an eye on?
Our department heads are keeping an eye on it. I'm not aware of any impact now. I think if the shutdown were to be resolved in a week or so, then probably we're not. I'm sure there'll be some delayed checks. I will say that my Social Security check came through, so I'm thankful that eagle flew. It flies directly into my bank account.
Yes. You're officially announcing re-election campaign tonight at a private event. So you're running for re-election.
I am.
And your top three qualifications, why you should be reelected?
If you were to, in fact, I did this. I asked ChatGPT. I took one of my campaign brochures and I put in the things that I said I was going to do, and I asked ChatGPT, how was Tom Arseneault doing on these promises? And it gave me a 3-page report, and I can tell you that I'm very pleased.
Wow.
That we have accomplished or made great progress on every single thing that we talked about. The biggest thing I can say about my reelection is I told you what I was going to do, and I did it. You can trust me, and you can see the progress.
That's very cool.
That is very cool. Well, happy Mayor, birthday to you. What are
you?
59 now? Yeah, something like that.
Wow.
I'm at least 59.
Okay,
Ruben lined up a stripper, but he didn't make it. I don't know. Dog. He didn't make it in time.
Well, happy birthday. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
We appreciate
Thank you so much. Happy birthday to you, and good luck tonight.
Thank you.
Coming up next hour, by the way, Louisiana Agricultural Commissioner Mike Strain going to join us talking about these drought conditions.
Mm-hmm.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app, Mike and McCarty. On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, Louisiana Agriculture Commissioner Mike Strain joining us. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing very well. Thanks for jumping on the line with us. We spoke with a meteorologist from the Weather Channel yesterday, and he told us that there's no rain projected in our area for the next 12 months.
I mean, he didn't say that.
Well, he better not say that. If not, he and I are going to have a talk.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you look at what's happening, Tropical Storm Jerry, it's not going to hit the United States. It's going to stay over water. And so these storms have really not been coming into the Gulf and bringing in the moisture that we need. You know, one of the things we rely on is the tropical storms to bring that. And then if you look overall at the weather patterns, there's very little precipitation coming across the Texas panhandle. And really, you don't see it coming into Louisiana. There might be a few drops of rain around Alexandria today. There is some clouds, but very limited. And then the next 7 days is expected to be absolutely bone dry. Now, if you look at the drought monitor, which we watch very, very closely, it does show that in the Monroe area, we are starting to get abnormally dry. If you look, you know, into the Monroe and to, you know, around East and West Carroll, and so some other areas of the state. Now, moderate drought is in just west of Baton Rouge, and then down in part of the Florida parishes, all the way through Plaquemine Parish, is abnormally dry. I have been seeing some fires, and we are really telling them to be careful. You know, really, in the last week, we had 43 fires, a total of 274 acres. Yesterday, we had 3 fires overall. And what's happening, a lot of people are out there. It's beautiful weather. They're cleaning up the yards. It feels cool. Then they're lighting that brush pile. None of these fires have been, quote, acts of nature. In other words, lightning hasn't caused any of this. Most of this, you know, is precipitated by human activity. So we're telling everyone, please, please be cautious right now. With the conditions, look, the grass is dry. There's a lot of dead grass out there, and these grass fires kick on pretty carefully. And if you are going to burn, you know, a trash pile, stay with it. Don't go inside to get a libation. Don't go take a nap. Don't leave it because, you know, it can and will get away from you.
Well, and have a hose ready, too. Have a hose charged and ready if you're doing that.
You need a hose and a rake.
Mm-hmm.
Have a hose with water and a rake. And be prepared, you know, to put it out and to deal with it. Because, look, the way to fight a fire is quite small. Fire grows in a three-dimensional type fashion, and it can get away from you. It is amazing how fast it can run across the field and get ahead of you. You're trying to, quote, stomp it out with your feet. You need to have a hose nearby, some water, and, of course, a rake or another utensil as well.
I
and
only see
paying attention.
Mike Strain, Louisiana Ag Commissioner, I'm only seeing a few burn bans in Louisiana. Do you anticipate that's going to be changing here pretty soon?
Well, if we get into moderate drought, if it continues to get dry, this intensifies, the answer that would be yes. If you look at some of the areas where we get into D1, then we will have those burn bans. We try to limit those burn bans as much as possible until it is necessary because, one, you'll have a buildup of stuff that needs to be burned. In other words, those burn piles, you know, in around homes and other things will start getting larger, and at some point, they'll be burned. So, you know, if we can continue to have just using common sense, if it gets moderate drought, we will institute the burn bans, and it's done parish by parish because every parish is different. And again, we really, you know, really, really, really hope that people pay attention to what's going on because, like, and you've heard me say it many times, please don't light that match, right? Mm-hmm. Only you can prevent wildfires. And, you know, we have crews across the state. But again, what we don't want is to get into that condition where we are in a D4 exceptional drought and have this a repeat of 2023, which was one of the three worst years in Louisiana history, if not the worst year for wildfires. And so we're not there. We're hoping that, you know, normally when you get into late October, November, it starts getting wet into December. And then you get into, you know, January and February is when it starts drying up again because that's one when you normally have people that burn pastures doing prescribed burns and that sort of thing.
Louisiana Ag Commissioner Mike Strain, with these drought conditions, do you expect it to affect the upcoming crawfish season?
Well, it's not that dry yet. And if you look at a lot of the crawfish area now, it is in abnormally dry, moderate drought, but we do have enough water. What happened with the upcoming crawfish season, it got so dry, it was in a D4, that actually the crawfish ponds dried up, and it dried mm-hmm. up to, you know, 2 feet below the surface, and then there was no water. The wells dried up. I don't anticipate that. I will tell you that we do anticipate an exceptional season. More and more farmers are going to raise more crawfish this year. So I think we'll have upwards of 360,000 acres, plus what's going on in the basin. Right now, we have enough water. And I'm hoping that, again, you know, when we get, you know, after the next 2 or 3 weeks, we'll start getting some rain to replace the water in the canals and make sure we have enough water. So right now, I don't see a problem. But if this drought continues to grow and intensify, it could affect it. But right now, we've got a lot more acres planted, and we have sufficient water.
What about our fall crops, Mike Strain? Are you concerned about any of those?
Well, we're harvesting now.
Okay.
And so if you look at overall, we've got about 70%, you know, of our, you know, soybeans are already harvested. A majority of our corn is harvested, and the cotton, all the cotton bowls are opening up. So at harvest time, dry conditions are good. It helps dry down the crops, and you can get in and get it harvested quickly. And then where the condition is when you look at what are the ground conditions, really late January going into February in the planting season, you've got to have adequate moisture. So for now, it's not a problem. So we were able to get through the growing season, and we're in harvesting season
okay. Now.
So the next thing, the next major crop, of course, will be our crawfish and a little bit of wheat. We don't do a lot of wheat, but a little bit of wheat. But the drought conditions at this point really will concern us if it's still dry again. Late January going into February, we look at ground temperature as well as moisture as to when to plant. And we normally plant in Louisiana 2 to 3 weeks earlier than the rest of the United States. And that does give us an advantage there.
One more thing, and I didn't pre-warn your folks about this, so I hope you don't mind. We go back a minute. The government shutdown, what kind of impact on Louisiana agriculture?
Well, what's happening is that the majority of the folks at the National Resource Conservation Service are not in their offices. If you're looking for instance, the crop progress and condition report, that's not being done through the National Agriculture Statistics Service. All of our federal partners that we rely on, they are in shutdown mode, and so they are, quote, furloughed. They're not home. And then if you're trying, you know, to get a crop loan, that can't be progressed. Right now, if you're trying to close on a home, you can't get flood insurance. You mm-hmm. can't buy flood insurance. Mm-hmm. So everything stops. And so when it stops all the wheels and the cogs of commerce. So that's what the interplay is for agriculture. And so our congressional delegation is working. We were visiting with a number of them yesterday on some issues. But the shutdown does have an effect, and mainly through conservation, through the other work we do with the Farm Services Agency, all the reporting, all the information that we need, and then, you know, such things that, you know, getting a new policy for flood insurance or what else.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Ag Commissioner Mike Strain, thank you for joining us, sir. We appreciate it.
Have a great day.
Mm-hmm.
You too, sir. Thank you. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I don't feel like tackling the big stories of the day.
Can we get that voice guy? Yeah, to do
now the small stories of the day.
Can we do the small ones? Yeah.
I wanted to go to National Night Out last night downtown. The big kickoff celebration that they had, but apparently my battery on my bike said, "Nope, we're done.
Oh,
that's it.
Man.
I'm finished. Buy a new one."
Let me ask you a dumb question.
So I didn't get out of the. I said no. And I didn't want to drive the truck.
Yeah,
parking's so much easier when you're on the bike.
I want to ask you a question that I've never asked you this because I worked 25 years, as you know, with somebody who I don't think he knew the difference between a wrench and a screwdriver. No offense to Robert J. Wright. No
right,
offense.
Right, sure.
But,
we all have our strengths.
Yes, and absolutely. He always used to say, "I can hire somebody to get it done." And you have way more manly traits. And I'm, you know what I mean?
Robert.
You can change your battery out on your motorcycle, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Not a problem.
No,
And you won't electrocute yourself or whatever.
I have a lift for my bike.
Okay.
I change my oil.
How does a man learn that? Was it from a dad? Was it from some, I mean, where do you learn? Or is it trial and error or screwing things up for years?
I tell you now,
mm-hmm.
If YouTube.
Really?
Oh, the mirrors on my truck, those big door mirrors.
Yeah.
On the side of your truck. I had some Yahoo that when you're coming down in the neighborhood, okay, if a car is parked on the side of the street and it's in your lane.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the right to come into the oncoming traffic and pass the car if oncoming traffic is coming.
Someone sounds a little hostile. Okay.
You wait behind that car until the oncoming traffic passes.
Yes.
Because if you're in a big truck and I'm in a big truck and you come over into my lane and our mirrors go. Guess what? I have to buy a new mirror because mm-hmm. you ran off, you big chicken
doodle
head. So anyway, I wanted to replace my mirror, and it's got the heater on it and the, you know, electric mirror
with
the switch. So you can't just
right.
YouTube, baby.
It's got everything.
Yeah. Now, and so I didn't have a dad growing up that taught me how to change my oil and stuff. So
okay.
That's kind of a self-learning process.
So you just learn it. And if you screw up a couple times, well, you screwed up, you know.
Right.
Yeah. But are there something, like if your innards of your toilet need to be replaced,
mm-hmm.
is that something you can do?
Oh, sure.
Not a problem.
Yeah. I put in a whole sink piece in our bathroom when we first moved in. One of those whole I don't know what you call it, a vanity
mm-hmm.
sink and cabinet and stuff. I plumbed that in.
Now, if I were to call your wife.
I don't want to do it today.
Right,
That was, you know, that was 20 years ago.
You'll hire it done today.
Yeah, I don't want to fool with that anymore. I've replaced toilets and ceiling fans.
Now, I love to ask men this question. So, or if you're listening, and I would love to call your wife, anybody who's listening, and say, what is the biggest DIY project your husband did around the house that he botched, totally botched?
Oh, we're out of time. It's time for the news.
This is too long, isn't it?
No, honestly, I'm trying to think of it.
Have you botched one pretty bad?
One time our house is so old, we have shiplap walls. And for those that don't know what that is,
get me.
It's actual wood planks interlocking behind the sheetrock. So you talk about solid as a rock. You can just drill a hole any place in my walls.
And it's going to hold something up.
And I didn't realize that. And I just tried putting, and I bunged up that wall.
Okay.
Trying to put in just a toilet roll holder. I mean, I can screw
stuff
up.
You've had a few.
But not major. But like I say, today, No, I'd rather just hire somebody to, if I have a new toilet to put in.
There's a plumber is coming.
It's worth it to me not to fool with that anymore.
I was just curious because I know you're going to change a battery out today, and I'm like, I hope you don't screw it up.
Oh, it's not. No, there's nothing to that.
Okay.
Nothing to that at all. All
right. I'll bring the Bentley to your house next time.
It's time for the news. I don't work on Bentleys. No, no, no. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, apparently Blanchard experiencing massive growth, a lot of businesses, good news for North Shreveport. We'll talk with Blanchard Mayor Jim Galambos coming up right after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710keel.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, Blanchard Mayor Jim Galambos joining us. Mayor, good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, we're doing very well. I know this is last minute. Thanks for jumping on with us. But you've got some exciting things happening there in Blanchard and leaking into North Shreveport.
Mm-hmm. What's coming for Blanchard? What's ahead that we know about?
Well, what we know about is we've got a Waffle House coming, be right next door to the AutoZone in front of the Walmart property. And next to Tim's Collision, we've got a full-service restaurant. Land has been purchased and annexed, and they hope to be a steak and seafood restaurant.
Nice.
At the next door to the Dollar Tree, we've got AT&T store going to open, and that's already built.
Okay.
And then they're putting the finishing touches on the new Take 5 oil change, which is right next to the O'Reilly's, and that ought to be opening probably before Thanksgiving. And I do believe that that's it for right now. Oh, we do have, we're dealing with people called Racetrack. They bought some property or finished buying it across from Love's Truck Stop.
Okay, and that is now in the town of Blanchard, right? It's been annexed in, correct?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay. Racetracks bring in a lot of money, a lot of sales tax. What kind of impact is this going to have on the town of Blanchard?
Well, you got to understand now, we don't get sales tax from gas, okay?
Okay.
So it's just items, food items purchased in the store, food and drinks. So, you know, Love's brings in close to $5,000 a month in sales tax revenue, which is all used by the police department.
Okay. And Racetrack would be about the same, I would bet, huh?
Well, yeah, I would think. I don't know, but we'll certainly find out. Listen, anything better than what that property is bringing in now would be a joy. So we just go from there.
Dr. Lauren Scott, one of the state's premier economists, told us last week that there are a lot of rumors around our area for Shreveport-Bossier that a data center could be coming to our region. Mayor Tom Arsenault told us earlier this morning that he has signed a non-disclosure agreement. Have you signed anything like that regarding a data center?
Mine was called Keep Your Big Mouth Shut Agreement, but yes, so I did.
You did? Oh,
I did, yes, ma'am.
So you can't leak anything about that?
Not me. No, ma'am.
Okay.
Listen, I don't look good in orange, so I'm not going.
Nobody does. Know? What would a data
Nobody
center
does,
though?
I
what
think.
Would a data center mean for Blanchard, if it were to come to your area?
Well, I've been there's been some people talking about one also or something big over off by Morningsport, and so I don't know if these people are just following the electrical grid improvements they're making or what they're doing, but. If it's anything like the construction going on in Delhi, which is that Meta Center, I understand it's bringing in 1,200 construction jobs on a daily basis, and that all the RV parks and hotels are full with construction workers. So for in the beginning, you know, a big investment would bring in a lot of tax dollars because of the spend of people buying groceries, eating in restaurants, you know. So mm-hmm. we look forward to that, and we welcome them.
Can you explain, Mayor Galambos from Blanchard, how this process works? If somebody is looking to bring in a data center and they're looking at several options, Blanchard maybe being one, Benton maybe, Shreveport maybe, do they call you? Do they come visit everybody? What happens? Do you all get together in one room and all sign this no. shut your big mouth agreement?
No, I can't. All I can say is that I was approached and signed an NDA, and you know, we've had some discussions from there, and now whether that goes any further, I don't know. These things can crop up, and you can get all excited and everything, but there's supposed to be some announcements coming out in the next few months, probably closer to the end of the year, and we'll all know for certain what's going on then.
And you obviously are hopeful that Blanchard is in the mix, right?
Well, Blanchard is in the mix, and that's a good sign for Blanchard. We're the town on the grow, and we've done some impressive things over the last 10 years, and it's all been very good for the public, and you know, for the community. We've got shopping centers, we've got restaurants, more to come, that's for certain. We've got the mountain bike park, you know, opening slowly over there on Highway 1, just past the tall antennas on the left. Mm-hmm. And they're putting in a 500 car parking lot. The attraction will bring in people from far as away as Houston and New Orleans and Mobile to come ride the mountain bike park. It's supposed to be 22 miles of trails.
Well, if there were a data center to go in your area, where would you like to see it? Because I know there's the one, it may be the one you just referenced. They were saying that thing, the Meta one, is going to be as huge as Manhattan. Obviously, this wouldn't be that big, but where would you like to see one?
Well, I'm not too certain that Blanchard doesn't have that kind of property available. Now, on the outskirts, we do. There's a lot of different areas that, you know, just like Shreveport. I mean, you know, Shreveport doesn't have an available 5,000 acres that you can build on. I mean, even if you go down Mansfield Road, that all the way to Keithville, that's just filled with businesses. So, you know, there's a lot of land going west. There's a lot of land going north. We'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see what shakes down out of it. And as I said, as each day we may learn something new. I haven't talked to them since April.
Okay.
You're doing
good at keeping your mouth shut.
My wife won't agree. So. Okay, well, but other than that, we're excited for anything that comes in here. You know, we're excited if we get a Dilla's quesadilla place,
yeah.
You know, or a Panda Express.
That's exciting.
We're excited for any kind of growth.
Right. Well, absolutely, because growth fosters more growth.
Growth fosters more growth, and every tax dollar that we bring in is for the benefit of Blanchard Police Department. Cars need new tires every day. We need new brakes. We've hired new officers, so we're just, and because of that, the police department is getting to be self-sufficient. We don't have to depend on property taxes no more to support them.
So how many officers do you have now in Blanchard on the police department?
We have nine. We have nine officers, seven of them full-time, I believe, plus a full-time police chief.
I remember when there was just like two.
Mm-hmm.
There was two. That's right, Mayor Presswood and the chief.
Because of the developments that are coming, whether they're small like Waffle House or big like Love's and Racetrack, are you seeing that some housing developments are coming into new neighborhoods, and you're starting to see more places for people to move in and live in Blanchard?
Well, over there at Blanchard Lake Estates off of Wassam Road, a company is called DSLD Homes out of Lafayette. Has been continuing building and selling. Okay, I sign about six house plats every 3 or 4 months, and they're just continuing adding. E&L Development is building back again behind Northwood High School. they're finishing up some of the projects and they're with their input that has infrastructure. They're looking at doing more. There's a new E&L development is putting in a new retail spot, kind of like a strip mall. And you know, we don't know what that's going to be yet. And yeah, so there's some houses being developed and planned. It's just, you know, a little slow yet because of the interest rates. And once the interest rates come down, but you know, I think these developers are feeling the need maybe that in the future we'll need some more homes very quickly.
Gotcha.
Which is good.
You bet.
Which is good.
Mayor Jim Galambos of Blanchard, appreciate you jumping on so quick. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You bet.
You too, sir. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
The mayor said something earlier or last hour.
Mayor Tom Arsenault.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Yeah, we have spoken to a couple mayors yeah. now. I'm sorry. Mayor Tom Arsenault. He said he entered his campaign information from his first campaign into ChatGPT and asked ChatGPT, how is Mayor Arsenault following up on his campaign promises?
That's crazy.
Aaron.
And it said he was doing great.
And it said he was, it kicked out like an 8-page report, he said.
Yeah. Wow.
And it was positive, which I don't have a hard time believing.
No,
he's been incredible. He's been very transparent. He's followed through. But it brought up AI, and I don't think we've even scratched the surface on how it's going to start affecting our lives.
Mm-mm, not at all. I loved how he said, like, if you're going to bring a business to Shreveport, you can go through AI now. You'll be able to use AI to put in your information about your business, and it will sort through it to make sure you've dotted all your I's, you've got all the right permits you need, you meet all the requirements, you've got all the licenses, you filed with the state. It'll do all that, and then your permit will be issued quickly. Now, is it going to cost jobs? Is there going to be somebody at the permit office that might no longer have a job because you can do this with AI? I mean, we have to balance that. You know, we have to weigh those options. If you're a government leader and you're trying to cut costs because your budget is tight, that's a great thing. But you and I both know AI makes mistakes.
Right. Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I had one time where it spit something back to me saying that the American Rose Center is located in East Texas. I went, no, it's not.
I did a question on F1 and possible like teams for next year kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And what are the odds of such and such? And it kicked back Red Bull current drivers, Sergio Perez and Max Verstappen. I was like, no, Perez hasn't driven all year.
Yeah.
You're not even. And I said, no. You're wrong. Perez hasn't driven, and then it comes back. Oh, you're correct. Yuki Tsunoda joined the team.
You helped make it smarter.
Okay.
You helped AI, you know, make it smarter.
So I'm smarter than AI.
Right now, clock's ticking on you, Mike. I'm just saying, it's ticking on me too.
I've seen use AI to write your emails, and I'm like, what a pain in the butt. By the time you enter the information, you could just write your own email.
Yeah, exactly. Because you got to tell it specifics, what you want the email to say, what you want it to focus on. You know, yeah, it's a little bit too much right now. But, you know, for government use, I mean, it's being integrated now as we speak.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
It's going to be a game changer. There's no doubt about it.
And I told you that the picture of me as Captain Smith from the Titanic. And it said, enter your picture. So I entered that picture into one of the AIs. And I said, make him walk down the steps. Because I'm on the steps of the grand staircase.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden, I look down like I don't want to miss my step. It's amazing.
Yes.
And now I'm walking down the grand staircase as Captain Smith.
That's just incredible. That really is incredible.
It's incredible, and it's scary as hell.
It is. Quite it really frankly. Is scary. Definitely.
If you missed Ask the Mayor, we'll replay that hour coming up in the 6 o'clock hour tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.